Yo, what's good? It's your boy, South 3706, this committee podcast. We got your boy, Adolphus Savage, Marcus Sniffles, special guest, Gary. Damn it, God, fuck. Yo, Gary, what you want to go by?
What's up, man? Gator Great.
I want to put your government name up.
It's out there now.
I mean, I can edit it out.
Nah, it's straight.
All right, well, fuck it. So, yeah, this is the committee podcast. Oh, like I said, we got a special guest, Gator Great on Twitter. What is it on Twitter?
It's on Twitter is Mr. Bully 85.
Mr. Bully 85. And we got L Breezy 904. What's good? Our resident Titans fan, so he's a loser. And, you know, we out here. A shout out to everybody who supports us. So we're now on iTunes. You can search us, the committee podcast. Rate, subscribe, write some reviews, give us some feedback.
Don't forget to share.
Definitely share. We're trying to make moves. Shout out to light-skinned Nikki who listens to the podcast. Shout out to T. Shout out to Corlisi out there in Kingston, you know, holding down Jamaica. Shout out to Ziggy holding it down Jamaica. Actually, he's in Florida, but I'm going to try to get him out here. But yeah, shout out to everybody supporting the cause. You know, we making moves, so.
And I definitely want to give a shout out to the few people that I know that do support, that show love. Shout out to Cassie Watson, hit me up today. Gonna give it a listen to for the first time. Shout out to Shakisa, of course, Lauren. Everybody that's been holding it down, we definitely appreciate you. We definitely on iTunes now for all you iPhone-aholics. You can always catch us on SoundCloud, and we're gonna be continuing to do our thing.
Actually, dang, we're getting kind of long with the shout-outs, but shout-outts to Urban Champ, trying to get back on, and shout-out to the Reduce Lunch podcast out there representing Jacksonville. Hashtag 904.
As well, 904.
Duval County Stand Up. But yeah, enough with that. Everybody good? How's everybody's week going?
Good, man. We straight. We good.
And I got the income tax coming back, you know, this week, so shit going to be straight.
I ain't even filed mine yet.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you better. Hey, hit that back page while you can, man. Get that free money.
Actually, you know what?
Protest is gonna be at that door.
I hit it. I be late every year. It's straight though. We good.
This man is the bedroom bully a Republican? Is he on that Trump plan or what's going on? You're just not gonna do your taxes?
No, man. What happened is it's a long story. But the guy that do my taxes, he had a little situation where he wasn't able to get to him on time, so I had to hold things up.
I'm not going to talk about my tax situation because the person might do my taxes might be a scammer, but that's neither here or there. But yeah, we don't get into it, man. Like, what is going on with Cleveland? We got this Stevie Stevens cat out here murking cats on Facebook Live. Like,
yeah, man, in the name of his girlfriend, he's out here running around. He claims to have killed anywhere from 12 to 15 people thus far. Said he's been dumping bodies in trap houses, pulling up on whoever, wherever, however. And I actually watched the video on accident. Okay, I'm lying. I watched.
Yeah, you're a sicko.
I'm sorry. God forgive me on Easter Sunday. So yes, I watched the video, and it was like, dude, just like he pulled up, he stopped his car. He was like, hey, I found this dude. I'm a kill. Walked out the car. He was like, hey, you know, whatever, Tory, something like that. And the old man was like, nah, I don't know who that is. And then, you know, you see the old man begging for his life as he pulls the gun out, shoots him, and just walks off like it's nothing. It's crazy.
Yeah, man.
Mental health counselor.
Just touch on that, man. I got up and actually went to church today, and I don't go to church that often, you know,
God bless.
3-4 times a year. So yeah. I was kind of on a high. And then I got home this evening and seen that video. And, you know, so I went from one extreme to the next. And anybody that retweeted that shit on social media, shame to you, because that was some bullshit. And we did not need to see that on Easter.
Definitely didn't need to see that on Easter.
Definitely not. I regret watching that video. And I scrolled past it. And then I scrolled again and I saw it. And I just, it was one of those autoplays. And I watched it and I was like, man, I didn't need to see that. That junk is just... It's a sad state of affairs that we're in right now.
Now, two things that I off the top of my head I can think of. Like, first of all, I know that y'all's president, President Trump, he signed an order that was saying that there was loosening the restrictions on mentally disabled people getting a hold of weapons. So that's part of the problem. We have access to weapons.
You know, one thing that I noticed with this guy, he's actually a mental health counselor. So I would assume that he's been properly evaluated and he wouldn't have this problem. He just stated that, you know, he had got into a lot of debt. I mean, gambling. And then I guess he had hooked up with this girl that was no good for him. And he said he just woke up on Friday and was like, F this. You know, he was tired of people giving him his problems and him evaluating them. But when it comes time to hear his problems, nobody's there for him. So,
but what's the actual vetting process for, you know, a mental health evaluator? You know, how close are we looking at them? Are we making sure they okay? Or is it just like you go out there and do your job and then we assume that you okay?
Well, one thing I wouldn't want to do is to put what this guy is doing on his girlfriend or wife or whoever. Like, I don't really feel comfortable with you saying, like, oh, he got with a girl that was no good for him. It's kind of,
well, I mean, I'm just putting what he said, though.
Yeah, it's more on him. It's not on whoever this woman is that he's doing this for. This is all on him. Like, he takes 100% of the blame.
Yeah, but he did stick to his girl, the gambling, and the job.
No, man. I mean, he can't go out and kill people, though, because you have issues. I mean, we all have issues. And you going out here killing people, that's not going to justify. How's that going to make you feel any better about yourself? Or how's that going to help you with your problems? Like, no. Like, I mean, we're adults here. I mean, I know we all have issues, but, I mean, and it sucks if you didn't have people to talk to, but I don't know. I mean, maybe he should have went to church and tried to find a pastor to speak to or whatnot. I mean, but just killing people, like, nah, that ain't cool.
He had to be on the edge, though, because to be 37 and you're willing to just go out here and murk cats left and right, like, you really have nothing left to live for, man. Like, that's pretty young. But people get through jobs that they shouldn't have. You know, people get screened, like, okay, we need to hire somebody or whatever. Right. We're not going to do the due diligence to make sure this person's good. And even with that, you know, if they don't, it's not popular amongst the Black community to do mental health checkups, because if you do stuff like that, people look at you crazy, like, oh, you have issues. Like, sometimes you need to do a checkup, just like getting your car fixed, man. Like, maybe meet with a counselor, meet with a psychiatrist, have them, you know, even if you're not doing bad, just, hey, have a checkup, say, hey, what's up? This is how I'm feeling. Maybe get some stuff off your chest. Maybe they can expose some stuff that you didn't know that was bothering you. So
your mental health should be just as important as your physical health. Like, those two things should be, if anything, your mental health should be more important than your physical health.
Right. And another thing that's important with the Black community is we got to understand that we don't always get the opportunity to have access to mental health counselors as, you know, other communities do. So when you do get opportunity to be privileged to that, you do need to take advantage of it.
That's true. Even Tony Soprano had a counselor, you know what I'm saying? He was out there getting advice while he was murking people and being the wild criminal in New Jersey. But shout out to them, because we all know you need the help. You're out there living that wild lifestyle. But yeah, hopefully they catch this crazy dude. And already, man, social media, I was on Twitter. I seen that somebody posted, like, oh, guy kills people in the name of Black Lives Matter. Shut the fuck up, man. Like, why y'all gotta do that? Every time a Black person kills somebody or does something crazy, they always want to, you know, associate it with Black Lives Matter. It has nothing to do with it. Again, every time a crazy white person or crazy whatever person goes, no, I'm going to use black and white. Every time a crazy white person goes out there and starts wilding out, we don't assume it's, you know.
Maybe you just didn't get the email that went out that all Black people are associated with Black Lives Matter. It's in the title. So if you're Black,
which,
you are.
Which President Trump is trying to make a terrorist group, which I do not understand. But
right.
Like, come on. And then like 4,000 people were tweeted. I'm like, yo, are all of y'all that stupid? Like, but
there's a lot of stupid people here, man.
Again.
Shit, look how many people voted for him.
Right. But I was like, yo, already, man, we doing this? Like, let's just focus on getting this guy before we try to slander a group of people that are trying to make things better. But it is what it is. So hopefully they catch that dude in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Get him get them taken care of ASAP, because we can't have no more videos like that. But
God bless the victim's family, man.
Definitely. RIP. But that kind of ties into the next topic we're going to get into is politics. Again, President Trump did sign bills allowing people with mental issues to have access to getting, you know, weapons. So not saying that we're not going to know if that's the case with this guy. Maybe we might know in the future if they catch him alive, which is in these situations with people like that, especially black people, most likely he's not going to make it alive. So we're not going to ever know. But with President Trump, there's a lot going on with him as far as the strikes in Syria, all bombs. And I am sick and tired of hearing every. They show that same clip, and they said that so many times. Like, I'm particular to, you know, a specific type of news, and I was like, I can't even watch y'all guys, man. Like, y'all keep talking about the same story all day. I know it was the hot story on the docket, but Lord Jesus, like. So Trump is out here playing with all his new toys, I guess. I seen an interview where he didn't even know where he dropped the bomb at. He said it was Iraq. They're like, no, you meant Syria, right? He's like, oh, yeah, Syria. So I'm like, yeah, we're hoping and praying that, at least I am, that he's a one-term president. It may be even shorter than that, but there's this thing, a lot of people know about this because I clearly didn't pay attention in any type of government class. Even if I did, I don't think I remembered it, but there's a thing called gerrymandering. Or Gary, you go over that. You can break it down better.
Quick rundown for anybody who don't really know essentially what gerrymandering is. It's when they redraw the voting districts. You know, voting districts based on population. We get a census, then they go back and look at what's going on in each area, then they redraw voting districts. This is something Republicans been doing forever. The reason they do this is because if you ever looked at the amount of registered voters, Democrats outnumber Republicans just about 2-1. So it's twice as many Democrats as it is Republicans, but their votes count just as much. Republicans, that is, their vote count just as much as Democrats because they draw up voting districts in such ways that rural areas count almost just as much as the populous urban areas. So you can go to a place like, and I'm going to talk about Atlanta because I'm here in Georgia. You go to a place like Atlanta, you go to a place like Fulton County. The vote in Fulton County is no more important than the vote in Richmond County because of the way that it's drawn up. So, you know, go back and look at this thing. That's what gerrymandering is when they draw up these voting districts and they include counties that's populous, they include counties that's sparse, they put them all together, they put their votes with our votes, and then they take the whole county.
Well, that sounds like a bunch of bullshit to me.
Well, they said that there's other countries that who go about their voting different ways, and they even say that it's ridiculous. Like, you shouldn't have the people that are in charge kind of stacking the deck in their favor, even though, you know, whenever, you know, the Democrats were in charge, they did it to their advantage too. So again, you kind of got to play both sides. Whenever, you know, the other party is in charge, they can do it too. But again, it should never come down to that. It should be done by a, you know, maybe a third party that draws them up as equally and fairly as possible, so that essentially everybody's vote or everybody has a fair shake as far as with the voting process. But a lot of people don't think it's fair anyways.
That's honestly why you get so many people saying that they vote don't count, which is almost true. You know, one vote don't really count.
Yeah, that's another thing, man. But yeah, it's the more you read about this stuff, and again, with the whole President Trump thing, I've made it my goal to learn a lot more about politics than I have in the past, just because you look at how he could get elected, you just scratch your head like, how did this happen or whatever. But yeah, stuff like that, little things like gerrymandering, like I don't know, man, this is crazy out here. So hopefully, you know, midterm elections, enough people come out where we can still make a difference, but it's looking kind of shaky.
We really ain't got a choice in that. And I know me and El Breezy, we actually were in the same U.S. government classes. So, have you heard of that before? Well, we were, weren't we, El Breezy? Weren't we in the same class? You always talk about I slept through the class, but I still retain some of the information while I was sleeping. But it is good to learn as much as you can, because there's certain things. How can Georgia or some of these other, like Georgia, even Mississippi, where I'm from, where it is way more black people that are Democrats than anything else, but yet that state's always Republican. Right. Now that I've learned this new process, now I can see why, because their votes don't really mean as much as what they're supposed to.
Right. If you look at just the state of Georgia alone, you look at the population of Atlanta, you know, the counties included, you know, and then compare it to the rural counties, then you probably got three times the amount of people right there in the metro Atlanta area than you do in the surrounding areas. But if you look at electoral map, Georgia is typically a Republican state.
I don't know. Again, the more and more I learn, the more I'm like, yo, it's deeper than rap, man. It's way more complex than we think about on the level that most people would think about it. It's a lot of people like, oh, you know, blame the people that didn't vote. Anyways, but yeah, the more you read about this stuff, it really all boils down to money. Let's keep it a buck. Like, I'm reading a book right now called Dark Money. It's pretty much talking about how the richest families and the richest business people in the country essentially make all this stuff happen. Like, it's crazy. Like, it's not even about politics. It's about money and influence.
No, people pretty much about money and influence, but what you don't want to get into the habit of doing is spreading the message that you can't make a difference. Because once people think they can't get out there and do nothing about it, then that's when they give up on it.
You can, but the sophistication with some of these people, that how they target people as far as social media and campaigning specifically to pull your strings and to essentially make you make a decision without you even thinking about it is crazy. Like, you sometimes you may think you're making a decision, but as stupid as some of the people is that we know or see on social media or know in our daily lives, it's kind of like, dang, even if us five in here essentially in our heads, in our opinions, make the right decision, if those other 50 stupid people, you know, do what they think is the right decision, it kind of feels like it doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
So it's tough. I mean, but again, like I said, you never want to discourage people. I encourage all the younger people that weren't old enough to vote. Shout out to my homeboy, KJ, the Dallas kid. He's a younger guy that he wasn't old enough to vote, but he really was trying to make a difference in the future. So y'all cats that weren't of the age to vote, you know, when the midterms come around, the next election, you know, come out, bring your friends, have them be educated. That's the biggest thing. Like, don't just vote just say you can because you're of legal age to do it. Make sure that you're doing research. Make sure you're being educated. Make sure that you cut on the news here and there. Know your facts.
And another thing that I'm going to give y'all, and this is just a little short thing, but when you do go out to vote, I'm going to piggyback on what South Breeze says. Make sure that you're voting on things that you feel strongly about, because I know sometimes... be educated. Because I know, like, when we first started out in that class I was talking about, after hearing some of the things from a moral perspective, I can identify with the Republican Party as well as there's other things I can identify with the Democratic Party. And I mean, I do know that a lot of Black people, they kind of felt obligated to vote for President Obama, even though normally they would vote Republican. Just, you know, make sure that you know where you stand from a moral perspective and what you want to do, and vote for whoever is going to represent yourself the best.
Yeah, just to kind of piggyback off that, to give you a scenario, I read a story about Bob Johnson. Actually told this story. Y'all know who Bob Johnson is. He's a multimillionaire, probably one of the richest Black men we have in America. He was out to set doing some campaigning, and he asked the Democratic National Party to send him some money so he could get videos and commercials out to do some campaigning with, but they told him, no, we won't give you money to do that, because the Black vote, the people that you're going to be trying to solicit votes from, we already know that the Black vote going to go to Democrats. So that's kind of one of the reasons that Hillary didn't get the vote that we thought she was going to get, because they count on us voting for Democrats every time, which we don't. We vote on our best interest. So if they're going to count on something, we got to get out there and get educated about what's going on. They give politicians talking points. And talking points is they say things that they feel will appeal to us, and then they won't go any deeper into detail about it. So be careful about what you vote for.
Yeah, that's kind of Trump kind of did that on steroids. Like, he was consistent with his points. Like, he was consistent to his base. Man, that dude. I'm not gonna lie, like I said, I'm not really too happy about the guy, but as far as doing what he did it masterfully. Like, the whole thing with saying that he's gonna call, you know, they're gonna call, we're gonna make China list him as a currency manipulator. Currently, said it back and forth, all day, even though now he's gone back on that. Bottom line is, be educated, Kobo. So I know y'all want to hear about that shit, because politics is all day. So let's get into the real meat potatoes, this Kendrick Lamar album. So if you've been living under a rock, you know, maybe just woke up out of a coma, Kendrick Lamar dropped a new album. Yeah, exactly. Dropped a new album that, you know, quote unquote, has the social media sphere going crazy. You know, people are saying he's the GOAT. You know, everybody crowning him the king. He has self-proclaimed himself to be the king. And I actually listened to the album today. Today is, what, Easter Sunday? So it came out Friday, I think. So, again, I typically don't like to listen to albums when they initially come out because there's a lot of hype beasting going on. People talking reckless, you know, making the album seem 100 times greater than it might be. So I kind of let that die down. I also listen to the Ross. So again, I don't really have an opinion right now because I still want to digest it. It's a pretty dense album in my opinion. I saw a good tweet that somebody said, hey, you know, if you're giving a review to an album that's been out for 10 hours, like, what are you really saying? Like, you haven't had time to really get into the nuances of everything. So, I mean, Marcus, what do you guys say?
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. I know when it first came out on Friday, I didn't listen to it, but I was just, you know, just people what Twitter was saying, and there was a lot of, like, just, this is the greatest album I've ever heard. This is just complete flames. My phone has just been set on fire. My car just exploded because this album is so hot. And I waited till Friday night to listen to it. I will say, just to piggyback off of that, you know, if you listen to an album and then you listen to it one time and you deem it a classic, then you're just dick riding at that point. Because I saw a lot of people that listened to it. The album had been out for like 12 hours, and they were like, oh, I just listened to Kendrick Lamar, it's a classic. And I'm like, there's no way that you listen to that album, his album, Damn, and were able to catch everything that he was saying. Because I've listened to this album about, at minimum, I've listened to it 5 times. And every time I listen to it, I catch something different. So the most I'm willing to give you can listen to it one time and say that you like it or say that it's good. You cannot listen to it one time and deem it a classic. Because it's almost like, not his last album, but the Pimp a Butterfly. There were people that were saying that that was a classic. And it's one of those things where that album came out almost 2 years ago. And there's still stuff in there that people are still not catching up to. There's little things that was said, like the messages behind that album. So if you want to talk about that album maybe being a classic, you can probably have that conversation now. But to have the conversation
about... you're trying to say that it takes 2 years to determine if an album's a classic or not?
I think it takes... I mean...
It takes more than 2 days. It takes more than one listen.
It takes more than a weekend, yeah. I'll tell you that.
Well, look, to my point, I'm going to switch it real quick. I knew the 2014 Forest Hill Drives was, I'm not going to say 100% a classic, but it was damn near close within a short period of time. So I guess if you do run it several times, like I haven't ran as many five, I've ran it 3 times. I can't say it's a classic album. It's a good album. I'm still going to say that Good Kid, Mad City is his only classic to date. Because I just think that was just a well put together, great album and a great introduction. Other than the documentary and Game, and of course, Dr. Dre and The Chronic, can't really think of too many times, well, and Snoop Dogg, can't really think of too many times that a guy on his first album.
College Dropout.
I was kind of late on that. I don't know. And I always thought a Late Registration was way better. But I mean, you know, it is what it is. But. I mean, damn, you just threw me all off too. But regardless of the fact, I think it's a good album. I'm not ready to crown it a classic. I mean, as soon as I woke up Friday or Saturday morning, social media is getting so ridiculous to where I'm just saying, right while we're on this, I went on my timeline, all up and down it is the Stevie Steve guy over and over again. Before that, it'll be Trump did this. And Saturday, it was actually the end of the world. Friday or Saturday, the end of the world. Everybody's going to die. North Korea's going to kill us. Everybody's worried.
Wow. And
it's just like, no, I'm like dead serious. You know, I have like over 1,000 friends. These motherfuckers all talk about the same thing all day. Like, you know, one person, oh, this album's hot. Oh, I'm his friend, so let me co-sign with this nigga. This, I think this album's fire too. Let me put a GOAT up next to it. It's the GOAT. He's the GOAT. Like, I'm actually seeing around the internet where they're saying that he isn't just top five. He's the greatest alive in all time.
Yeah, you need to block, you need to block all of them. You need to block all of them.
The thing that's different about nowadays is that it's the internet and all this access to music is good and bad at the same time, because like in the 90s, early 2000s, you only got a handful of albums. You could only listen to those over and over and over again. And you really couldn't get your voice out there and to really talk about it with other people. Nowadays, there's an album out like every other week, and you can get on Twitter, you can get on a podcast, you can get on YouTube, and you can get your hot takes out there super fast. And it used to not be like that.
Well, I was telling the office, like, even on the, I think last episode, I was talking about the Rick Ross album. Like, again, I'm trying to get back to those type of days where, you know, you can make the choice to say, hey, you know what, I'm going, regardless what social media says, regardless what everybody else is saying, I'm going to listen to this CD until I'm done listening to it. I've been continuously listening to this Rick Ross, and I saw the Dolphins earlier. Like, initially when I got it, I'd run it all the way through. Now I'm getting to the point where there's, you know, tracks I jump right to. Like, I jump right to Santorini, Greece. I jump right to Trap, Trap, Trap. Now I don't like She's On My Dick with Gucci Mane as much as I used to. And now, right now, my hot song on that album is Summer 17. That track is so fire. Like, so again, once you've listened to an album multiple times, you start to realize, okay, well, I like this song, or maybe this next song is to be your favorite song, as opposed to run through one time, give me your hot take, and then moving on. So I think I've listened to Rick Ross enough to, you know where it stands to me, and now I'll take time with this Kendrick, and maybe in a month and a half, 2 months, I'll have my breakdown of this. So,
okay, let me pose a question to the entire group, and I think first I'm going to start out with El Breezy, and I know, do you think this is the type of album that 6 months to a year from now, you're going to reach back and listen to this album again?
Yeah, I see that. Yeah, I can see myself doing that.
I mean, again, it depends. It depends what you like, man. If you're a Kendrick stan, then you could say yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to say to that point, because I might be the only nigga left, but I had not heard the album yet, because I'm just
about to ask you Kendrick that.
I'm just not really a big Kendrick fan like that. So I'm gonna take a chance and listen to it and digest it for what it is. But his music don't really do it for me. So, I mean, when I hear it's a new Kendrick album, it's like I get to it when I get to it. I heard Good Kid, Mad City probably about 2 months after it dropped. It was straight. And then the last one, it was a total miss for me. I ain't like that shit at all. I probably heard it twice and then pushed that shit to the side. But probably, that's just because I'm not interested in Kendrick.
I mean, I guess it depends what you like. Like, when that CD came out, Pimp a Butterfly, I listened to that CD like 5 times a day, dog. Like, back to back to back. Like, that shit was, it was crazy. Like, just how it was put together, the production. Like, I'm into production. So, if a CD's got good production, it's probably going to get good marks from me off the rip. But I have to look past that sometimes and listen to, like, the content, the verses, the wordplay, all that stuff. But I can see why you could feel that way about that album.
I think the content on his newest album is a little bit more, it's not as heavy as To Pimp a Butterfly.
Right. He seemed like he tried to appeal to the masses a little bit more.
I'm not going to say he tried to appeal to the masses. I'm just saying the subject matter isn't as, I don't want to say depressing, but it was a little bit deeper and a little bit more heavy emotionally. This one, there's a lot, there's more, I don't want to say uplifting, but there's more the braggadocious style of rapping on this album. And the beats that he has are a lot more radio friendly than he usually has. He's not bad at picking beats, but he's not on Rick Ross's level of picking beats.
But it's different though, because if I'm not mistaken, they probably do everything in house. So when you're in house, you're gonna get more of as much of a commercial sound. Like Rick Ross can pick from, you know, whoever he wants to pick.
Yeah, he normally works with He worked with Soundwave a lot on this album, but he worked with them last album too. He has two Mike Will Made It beats on this album.
Oh wow!
So he has branched out on that, and when you listen to it, the Mike Will beats is the one. It's DNA, and Triple X. And DNA is definitely one of the hardest songs on, and it's the first song on the album. That song is pretty hard.
But who did Element? Who did the beat for that? To me, that's the hardest song. Soundwave. To me, that's the hardest track on here.
Yeah, Soundwave.
Ooh, I think he brought more out of Michael Made It on this album, because I couldn't even tell that was a Michael Made It track. Like, I was like, you said that, now I gotta go back and re-listen to it, because his style is pretty noticeable to me. Like, just like with on the To Pimp a Butterfly, Be Alright was produced by Pharrell, and that definitely was far from his style, just like we did on his first CD with another track that was a Pharrell track. I forgot the name of it, but it didn't sound like the typical common Pharrell track. Like, okay, making cats change it up a little bit, so I can respect that. But I mean, to Adolphus's point, well, let's do this in a year or two. I don't know, because 18 other CDs probably will come out, so I'll probably be peeping out some other shit. So,
but if the album is really that good, right there in
history though, that give you that feeling that you can go back a couple years later and be like, this shit's still right.
Yeah, like 2014 Forest Hill Drives, to this day, I'll still go back and pull that out and listen to tracks.
Trap music.
I can't lie. I haven't listened to 2014 Forest Hill Drive in a minute. But the vibe is not something I can really listen to all the time. The albums that I do listen to a lot are, shit, I don't even know. I know, like, David Banner's CD, his first CD, I can run that whenever. Any Tupac.
Motivation 101.
Yeah, trap music, man. If I'm going to something that I need to hear from a couple years ago, I'm going to trap music.
Any Jay-Z, for the most part, some Kanye, you know, stuff like that. But
old Kanye. I like the older Kanye.
I'm not even, you know what?
Here they go. Here you they might, go with the old you know, Kanye you know, stuff. Sorry, like,
you might get put out of here with that shit.
Like, okay, and I will say, just recently, I did go back and listen to Pablo. So it ain't just old Kanye. I could pop in Pablo when there's some tracks. I did the other day. I was clean into No More Parties in L.A. This is a sick track regardless.
Yeah, I'm still mad that didn't get as much, like, people didn't really put respect on that track. Like,
well, that's because he's not putting respect on himself. And I'm just saying, it is what it is. He still makes good music, though, but.
Yeah, I'm still waiting on Turbo Graphics, but. But yeah, we'll see again. Maybe a little later, I'll have a little more to say about Mr. Kendrick Lamar. Marcus has a story to tell about using the dreaded N-word at work.
Yes, the horrible N-word. That's the downfall of all Black people. Well, there was a situation at work where someone was telling me that there was a female that was using the N-word. At work, and she was using it like casually. She wasn't, you know, doing it. Like while she was doing the work, but it's more of a in a school setting, so there's like you get breaks, you guys kind of just hang out or whatever, and she was saying it, and one of the other students in the class approached her, and he's a white guy, and he was like, hey, you know, I'm offended by that word, I'd appreciate if you don't say that, and she kept saying it, so he went to the head of the class or whatever, like the teacher, and he had a talk with her. And eventually she got fired. And the way the guy explained it, the head of the class, he was more so like, you know, I don't want to hear that word because we all know what would happen if I, a white guy, would say that word. And like, I guess I wanted y'all's opinion on how you feel about saying that at work, because I can understand her being fired for saying it, but I kind of had an issue with him saying, like, he doesn't want her saying it ever because he can't say it.
Yeah, that ain't a good way of explaining
it. Yeah, with that point, I don't like that at all. And as far as nigga is concerned, it depends on the context into which she was saying it. But to lose your job over it and then basically for this head of class guy or teacher or whatever to basically just – And I'm just taking it out of context, but basically say, because I can't say it, I don't want anybody to say it. I don't think that's fair.
Yeah,
I'm but I know niggas can't say nigga at my job, so.
Yeah, I mean, I work in a profession. I ain't going to go into great detail about what I do, but I work in a professional setting. I manage a bunch of people. Right now, it's like 31, 32 people I've managed. So I ain't gonna go into, you know, great detail about it, but I just don't see it a place at work where you be calling somebody a nigga, whether it's casual or not. I just can't understand why you be at work just hollering at nigga all the time. So I mean, understand him not wanting her to use it, but he probably should have gave her a better scenario, a better explanation of why he didn't want her to use it, besides saying I can't use it, you know.
So you meet at your job, there's no you know, freestyle battles and lunch or anything like that?
Nah, bro, I don't have that. You know, a quick rundown. I think I'm 31. I'm probably one of the youngest people at my job. I am definitely one of the only black people there. It's probably two other in the building. And
Hashtag black excellence. Yeah. Okay. So you don't use it, period, or you don't use it in front of them? Because there's no time you're like on break, y'all kicking in, like, man. Wilding out, blah 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 blah.
Nah, we don't use it, period. Be honest with you.
Oh, okay. Let me ask you this: are y'all cool?
I am. I don't know about them. See, I don't want to cross that line. No, I don't talk like that. You know what I'm saying? So I just step away from it altogether.
Well, no, because you're not cool with it. Like, if it was somebody that you knew, you know what I'm saying, you'd probably be like, if y'all came up together, it'd be kind of.
Yeah, no, we ain't buddy. Okay. We ain't homeboys. Okay. Like that.
Yeah, makes sense. So y'all like more like associates than friends.
Yeah, it's just a work relationship.
Okay.
I know a guy at my place of employment, and I work in a pretty professional environment. And this dude, like, he'll say it's two people. One of them, she's an African American sister, and she'll curse recklessly on the floor. And she's the only person that does that. I don't think she says the N word. But this other dude, now we've hung out outside of work, and sometimes he will be like, you know, nigga, please, what up, nigga, you know, stuff like that. And I kind of feel like he's saying a little too high. My manager's manager is black. I still don't want to get popped for saying the word, you know, because it's unprofessional. Like, my manager's white. I can't go up to him and say, what's up, my nigga. First he turned red in the face and wouldn't even know what to say. He's from Texas, you know, and all that stuff. So I find it to be a little weird, and I try not to engage in the nigga talks at work.
I know for me, I don't like most of y'all are saying, like, I don't use it in a professional setting. Like if I'm actually doing some type of work and you're trying to, you know, be professional, like, oh, excuse me, sir, ma'am, I don't just replace that with nigga. I don't do that. But yeah. there is a black dude that I work with that I am cool with. That if it's just me and him and there's nobody around, like, I will say it to him and around him, but that's really the most that I'm not using it every, you know, every five words, but I'll say, you know, in a joke or something like that, nigga, please, whatever. But like y'all were saying, it's tough, like, you know, when you don't work around a lot of black people, it's definitely something you shouldn't do.
And that's why. That's why I asked Gary, like, yo, like, so did you know this guy? Are y'all cool? Because if you, like, in Gary's situation, if you're in a work area with most people, shoot, in general, most black people, there's not a lot of us there. So when we do get, you know, together, we kind of, quote unquote, you know, loosen our tie, be a little more, not less professional, but kind of just relaxed, like, kick it like we kick it normally. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, me and you, we say nigga all the time. Like, I'd be like, yo, what's up, nigga? Or blah, blah, nigga, you know.
Right. Like, podcast-wise, as long as we on here, I don't find a problem with it. Because, you know.
Well, see, but with me, if you go back and listen to the podcast, I don't think I've ever said nigga outside of maybe referring to, you know, maybe rap songs or a quote. So I'll try not to say it on here just because, like, there's different demographics of people who listen to this. And even when I'm in a group chat with some cats I play fantasy football with, I try to scale back and even type in it because it kind of, it's just weird because when you type it, then they might feel they could type it. It kind of normalizes it. So I try to
open that door to give anybody who don't got privilege to it to think they got privilege to say that shit.
That's my thing.
Don't, like, say don't hit around.
I always say it with around black people. Like, I rarely, if ever, say nigga around white people because, like you said, you say that, then they get all comfortable and they want to slip up, and then you got to fight somebody. It's like, come on,
well,
man.
Well, again, it's not even, for me, it's not a privilege to, like, anybody can say whatever they want to, but, you know, everybody's not going to react in the same way as you think they're going to. Like, I hung out with a white dude, and he was heavy in a different kind of music, and he would say it, you know, singing songs. I'm like, it really didn't bother me per se. Or whatever, but again, I don't think it's gonna go out into the middle of the street and, you know, downtown Atlanta and say something like that or whatever. But
I mean, that might be a different conversation. But I know for me, if for some reason I have like a white person in my car that I work with or something like that, I don't really even listen to rap music around them just because I don't want to have to deal with them doing something like that. I don't want to have that talk with them because it's like, I'm not really cool with you like that. And I don't really, you know, fuck with you like that. So it's like, let me just put on some, like, I have an old school playlist or whatever has, like, you know, Marvin Gaye and Stevie Wonder. And well, I don't.
But, Marvin Gaye.
Yeah, well, in the same sense, though, like, that same person, we is in the car, I don't know if he listens. He probably does. He don't, if I tell this story, he don't know what I'm talking about, but he put on Migos and Drake Versace and knew it word for word. I'm like, all right, that's what's up. Like, I didn't even know all the words to that song. So it's kind of like, you can say whatever you want to, but I mean, be clear, I'm not everybody. Just, and it's the same thing, like, I've been to two Kanye West concerts. Kanye West concert is like it's a pretty diverse group of people. It's less, there's not as many black people as you think there. There's more white people, Hispanic people, Chinese people there. All of them cast all the words. There's probably 30 non-black people around you saying nigga in the songs. I can't fight all of them. You know what I'm saying? Like,
a little bit of some culture differences. And I know after the event that we went to, we were able to go to this place called the Rock Bar and hang out with people from a different culture, but to what I consider black. And I was wondering in my mind at a certain point, I was like, you know, am I cool to say nigga? Or, you know, because I don't know if they say nigga in their culture and I don't want to offend them by just dropping nigga everywhere. And so it was kind of a unique situation. And I kind of wonder sometimes, do other black people in other cultures use the word nigga as a term of endearment, like niggas or black people in Europe, are they like, yeah, what's up, nigga, you know, blah, 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 or Jamaica or the West Indies and stuff like that?
He refers to Jamaicans. I mean, they do, but they kind of do it in a way that's kind of characterizing American black people. Like, they say it as like a joke, like, you know, they don't use it from what I've seen as much as, you know, American black folks do.
I know for me, if I'm saying nigga around a black person and they're just like, you know, hey man, I don't really want to hear that word. And can you, you know, if they're like, you know, I respect it if you wouldn't say that, I'd honestly be fine with that. But if I'm in a casual setting and say like a white person says, hey, I appreciate it if you didn't say that around me, I feel like I'd still say it. Like, I feel like I'm not going to let, I feel like if you're paying me, then you can, you know, dictate what I say. But if you're just like, you know, well, how would you feel if I said that? Well, nigga, you can't say it. So let me live. Like, you're not going to sit here and control my language right now.
Well, to that point, well, not even that point, I've been in, at my job, I've been to, I guess, HR meetings where they were explaining, you know, why you shouldn't or can't say nigga at work. Because I know a lot of the younger black guys at the job that would start out would still use that. But in the same breath, they said words like redneck were the equivalent of saying nigga. So I could actually technically report somebody that said redneck just as quick as they could report me for saying nigga. But I guarantee you, if I went and said, hey, you know, Tom over there said redneck and I'm offended, they're probably gonna look at me like I'm crazy. But if Tom says, hey, you know, South Reese said nigga, then I'm probably gonna get in trouble. So it's kind of BS. Like, again, man, if I'm with my people, I'm cooking. Like, exactly. I'm with my people, I'm cooking. Like, I'm over here, you overhear it, then just mind your business. But again, I don't think you should be saying in the workplace.
I mean, it's got so many different connotations, you know, and so it's the intent of the word is now, I think it's kind of harmless to a certain effect with certain people, but you never really know what's behind when somebody just blurt out nigga and they ain't a nigga. So I just like to try to stay away from the word, you know what I'm saying? Let's not even cross that boundary and get into having to have that conversation about who should be using it and who shouldn't be using it. Long time ago, I was on the train where we just get rid of using the word altogether, and that's fine with me.
But yeah, in my job, I work in a main operating room. So, like, we have time to ourselves. I mean, we always work around patients and stuff like that. So, of course, we don't say it. But, like, if it's like me, somebody I'm cool with that's black, I'll say it. But I try not to use it, like, we're amongst, because, like, where I work is, like, it's real diverse. You got people from all over the place. It's, Yeah, I try to stay away from using that word unless I'm with somebody that I'm cool and comfortable with, and that's black.
But, I mean, I guess. But, I mean, to what Gary's saying, it's kind of hard to get rid of it altogether because, like you said, the word has now become a quote-unquote term of endearment to where every rap song saying it, essentially non-white people.
But that's another thing too, though. I've heard like Spanish people call each other nigga too. So I've seen like other races say it amongst themselves and call.
I bet in California people. They call each other nigga all the time.
For Hispanic people, it's one of them things where it's like they grow up. Especially it's heavy like in New York and California where they grow up in the same projects as black people. They listen to the same type of music. So they feel like they're a part of that culture. So they feel a little bit more comfortable when they associate with that word.
The only reason that works is because they're not white, because there's white people that grow up in those same exact ghettos and projects and live in those same environments.
But
they can't do it.
I mean, that's you know, how I explain it to white people. But if you want to get down to like the nitty gritty, like the only reason they can say this because they ain't white. Like if an Asian dude was out here,
I'd explain it to white people that you shouldn't be using the word nigga, then just let's just not use it. Then we don't have to talk about that.
It is what it is. But I'd love to get back on that at a different point. So I find that kind of interesting. If anybody out there listening, you know, comment, let us know. Because the spectrum of how people feel about that word, whether it be black or white, it ranges. There's some young black people that, you know, younger demographic listen to rap music that still are opposed to the word. Usually it's the older black folks because they really kind of really felt the impact of that word and, you know, what people process in the march for as far as like being treated equally and not being a quote unquote nigger to people. But it kind of ranges. Everybody has their opinion and different feelings on that. So, but we'll definitely come back to that. That's a pretty interesting subject. But the last thing we want to talk about before we get out of here is the social media age. So, of course, you know, we're all on – well, not all, but most people are on social media, whether it be Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, whatever your vice is. So I've seen a lot of stories on Twitter or even on the news of usually people under the age of like 15 having issues with social media, whether it be cyberbullying. Usually it's mostly cyberbullying or, you know, getting in trouble or getting hurt. Like I saw one story where a 13-year-old was dating a 10-year-old. The 13-year-old decided to play a trick on social media saying she committed suicide, which obviously she didn't, but her 10-year-old boyfriend thought that she did, so he killed himself. Which I'm thinking, there's so many layers to that. Like, first of all, why are you 10 years old dating? Okay, why are you 10 years old dating a 13-year-old? Where are your parents at? Amongst other things. Another story I saw was there's a young girl who's about 10 years old, and she was a darker-skinned girl. For some reason, being dark-skinned is associated with being ugly. She was a nice-looking young girl. You know, she was cute, like, for a kid. Wow, that comes out really bad, but you know what I mean.
It came out really bad.
It did. Yeah, it did.
I'm probably gonna edit that part out. Again, so you know what? Y'all are the sickos because y'all are the ones that made that sexual. So I'm gonna flip that on y'all. Anyways, the point that I was trying to make where people were bullying her, saying that she was ugly because she was dark skinned, which. Again, she's 8 years old. Why are you on social media for people to bully you in the first place? I got one more. Then you got the kid in Georgia who was Facebook Living himself, apparently playing with a pistol and shot himself and killed himself. Like, what are y'all? Again, we've talked about this before in this podcast. Y'all can't live y'all's lives trying to get likes and retweets. Them likes and retweets do not mean anything in real life. Doesn't mean anything.
It can.
Well, I want to know the 8-year-old. What platform of social media was she on?
I'm not sure what it was, but it was probably, I'm assuming, was Facebook because they said her people she knew. So I'm assuming let's say for the sake of argument, it was Facebook.
Okay, I kind of feel like Facebook I mean, we can't blame them, but parents, they need to do a better job of watching what their children are doing.
Thank you.
And it goes more into, like, I know a couple of people via Facebook, people that I know in certain situations that will get a 6, 7, 8 year old an iPhone or an Android that has capabilities to go on these different things. And I just don't think that you should be able to go on this. I'm going to use the example of my sister, for example. Now, she plays a lot of video games. She's really into Roblox, Toontown. And it's like another game too. It's slipping me, but these games, they all intertwine with adults. And I know Roblox, it was like shut down for a little bit because you'd have adults talking reckless to children. And it's like, you know, you have to kind of monitor what's going on with them. Cause I mean, sometimes these adults be saying sexually explicit things. And to me, we've just like, it pains me when I see, and I have family members that may be like this as well. And no offense to y'all, but I don't want to see a 3-year-old reaching for my cell phone or on their own tablet. Like, get that shit out of here. Because I know if
you sound hella old right now.
Huh?
You sound hella old right now.
Hella old, but I'm trying to be safe here, man. Look, when I first got on the Twitter back in 2009, I was on the Twitter. Huh? What'd you say?
Nah, go ahead.
Exactly, you bearded nigger. Anyway, that was my first time. I'm sorry. Shit, he did that. And the Bulls sucked. I don't know how the fuck they beat the Celtics today. But regardless of the fact.
They got lucky.
They sure did. Regardless of the fact, like, I'm on here and I'm like, damn, you got access to porn stars, rappers, just whatever madness you want to see.
Photoshop. I've seen some nasty Photoshop pictures, dog. Like grade A Steven Spielberg type. These, like, yo, how did
you with the Photoshop? You can't have your kids on there. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, you can't. You gotta let your kids be kids, man. Like, eventually you're going to stumble across some stuff that you're going to have to ask your parents about, but why give them the opportunity to accelerate that process? Like, you don't need to be figuring out, you know, where babies come from at 7 because you got an iPhone, you clicked on this video of somebody getting dog pounded.
Well, you know what I'm saying? Like, things are changing. People are accessing things a little bit earlier than they used to. Like, back in when our parents were younger, they didn't really have, like, access to TV and internet and all that stuff. And then when we were younger, we had more access to TV. Cell phones started coming up, and now kids have access to internet, and they have the whole world at their fingertips. So to expect them to not learn about things at an earlier age is somewhat unrealistic. Like, you're not going to – your kid isn't – you're going to have the sex talk with your kid a lot earlier than, say, your parents did with you. Because they have that information more readily accessible. Now you need to talk to your kids about sex when they're 10, 11, and 12, as opposed to 15, 16, and 17. And that's times are changing now.
Because that'd be awkward. I just kind of got in where I fit in, and the rest is the end of the story. But still, the suicide thing, the bullying thing, the Facebook Live killing, and I'm talking about the kid that shot himself. I mean, what were you trying to prove? Like, the fuck is wrong with you? I mean, God rest his soul, but you're pointing a gun at your own head and you shoot yourself. Like,
this is the same thing I was talking about on the previous episode where the kid ran out of the closet and got killed by his girlfriend's dad. When you're that age, you're going to make stupid decisions. That's what you do at that age. That kid was like, how old? That kid was like 11 or 12 or something like that.
Nah, this kid was like. He's like 16.
Okay, he's 16, 17. He's even more likely to make a dumb decision. That's what kids are doing. Kids make stupid decisions. Kids do things to get likes, to get followers, because they don't understand the value of things. But I'm not going to sit – I'm kind of concerned. They don't really know how he got that gun. That's a more concerning issue. But – I'm not going to sit here and call the kid an idiot because he made a 16-year-old mistake. Like, that's something that a kid his age would do. Like, kids his age are going to do dumb stuff. Like, I'm waving that flag pretty high right now.
Yeah, but I feel like we live in a society now to where we just letting more and more shit be acceptable. You know, like, why do you have a 3 or 4, even 7, 8-year-old with social media access? Like, what benefit? You don't learn nothing from social media. That's not making
you
kids.
You sure don't, school. Man. I'm starting to. I used to be.
I'm not willing to say that. I think it is. I think you can learn something from social media because you kind of all these kids. There's a lot of kids that live in the middle of nowhere that have never experienced anything outside of their own lifestyle. You get on social media, you're more able to interact with people that are different than you, that have different experiences than you, and have a different viewpoint from you. I'm an adult. And I've learned things. A lot of the stuff that I learned is from Twitter.
Different people at 8?
You're making a lot of assumptions. I can go outside and run a marathon. I'm even going to do it. When you're on Twitter, you're not really. How many people honestly are using Twitter for that? What they're using it for is to see the same 10 videos get retweeted by the same zillion people. Like, you're not going out there saying, hey, I want to see what Johnny in Compton is doing, seeing how he's living. No, you're looking at fucking dog fights and
okay, but that is a possibility.
Offering kids an opportunity to interact with adults. You know, you putting them in the same arena.
I feel that though. You're putting yourself in a position to have an 8-year-old to fool with a 28-year-old.
Yeah, like why would you?
Okay, but doing that on that stuff was happening before Twitter. Like that comes with the internet. Like if you want to just keep your kids off the internet until they're 14, 15. Then, you know, good luck with that. Obviously, you do need to monitor what they're doing on the internet. But to say that, oh, well, why is your 8-year-old on Twitter? Because Twitter's fun. Like, that's basically what it is.
You can barely read at 8 years old. There's no reason you should be on Twitter. Like, that is absurd. That doesn't even make any sense. Your 8-year-old should.
How does it not make sense?
You just learned how to what a verb is at 8. You're talking about getting on Twitter. What?
There's hella funny videos on Twitter. What are you talking about?
There's hella funny videos on YouTube, too, which requires no interaction with grown people. Or seeing a video of somebody getting shot live, or seeing a video of somebody getting a train ran on them.
That's how you
scroll across your timeline.
And you have to, and like I said, you need to monitor that stuff. The parents need to be able to monitor that. But you ask, why is an 8, 10-year-old on Twitter?
How do you monitor it if they have a cell phone that they have on them at all times?
You can look at what you can. I'm sure there are programs out there that can help you determine like what they're looking at, what time they're on Twitter. You can't like obviously. If you have an 8-year-old that has access to the internet, maybe you don't let them have their phone past.
Well, you know what? I'm just going to speak from prior experience here. I remember going to the library because I used to get kicked out of class every day in high school. And I ran across some kids. They were underclassmen. And they found out this website called Steak and Cheese or something. And they'd be like in the corner in the cut of the library watching porn. Because it was like, it wasn't a normal porn site name. And that's what they would be doing. It's so hard to monitor that because I can easily go on, what's that, X hamster or something? I can just lie and say, oh, I'm interested in gerbils and hamsters. And you just never know. So it's hard to monitor them. But giving your 6, 7, 8-year-old child an iPhone is inexcusable. Why the fuck do they have an iPhone and I don't have an iPhone?
Yeah, that's not
I do now.
Yeah, that's not the appropriate age. I think, like, I mean, you could try and monitor, but, like, yeah, like, 10, 8 years old. I mean, it's not a problem for them to go on the internet and look at things if you can monitor it, but I wouldn't give them, like, their own iPhone, their own iPad. If anything, they could use mine so I can monitor what they're doing. But, yeah, that's inexcusable. An 8-year-old.
I just don't
like
wanna,
you said, he's dating a 13-year-old. Or something. Like how is
that? I just don't want to treat the social media age as if this is something that's brand new, that's never happened. There's plenty of times in like the 50s and 60s where kids were sneaking around stealing porno magazines. And then in the, you know, 70s, 80s, kids are going around sneaking cigarettes and weed. And, you know, kids are sneaking porno magazines and VHS tapes. And kids are staying up to watch Cinemax and whatever. Like, this is something that happens.
Social media just make it that much more accessible.
It makes it more accessible. But the thing is, you have to monitor your kids. And it's going to be – if anything, it's going to be harder for parents to monitor their kids, but it's a thing where you've always had to monitor your kids. Your kids are going to try to get into stuff. Well, so you just have to try to monitor them.
I just had a conversation earlier this day about monitoring children. And I do think like it was a situation where
a 5 or 6 year old was hanging around a 1 year old alone. And I thought back to a story when I was younger in Jacksonville about, like, it was this kid, he was like maybe 13, 14. He was babysitting this little girl, and he just all of a sudden slams her off the top of a step because he like was into wrestling and killed her. And it's like, to me, as a parent as well, you got to stop leaving your kids around younger kids to watch them and just do a better job at monitoring your kids. I mean, I still think giving them an iPhone is a loaded gun, but you still should do a better job with monitoring your kids anyway.
So anybody that's listening, please give us some feedback on that, because I personally am against kids, I'm going to say under the age of – I would say under the age of 14, having access to social media via your smartphone. Like, you can have a cell phone, so I can call you. You can call me when you're done with football practice or cheerleading or whatever. But, again, I could barely concentrate in high school without any of that stuff. Like, I couldn't imagine being in class with Twitter or Instagram or Snapchat at my disposal.
You also grew up in an age where there was an internet at one point. Kids now grow up, they've always had internet, so they know how to deal with that stuff.
We always pretty much had it, because we're all the same age. We've had the internet.
Okay, but not like this. Not like when we grew up, we had dial-up internet. When it first, like when it was start, when it really started popping, it was still dial-up. We started getting on.
I understand that, but me knowing that now, I'm like, okay, well, I know I couldn't concentrate without that stuff. Adding that is just adding more fuel to the fire. Like, you're already focused on mainly trying to chase girls. Well, now I can chase girls at my fingertip all day in class. Why am I going to study? Why am I going to pay attention? I could be chasing this girl on Instagram or Snapchat.
Our grants were like, well, how are my kids going to be able to study and focus when they have this TV in the living room? How are they going to be able to do anything? And they figured it out. These kids have figured it out.
That's not the same thing.
There are plenty of kids out there that are able to get good grades, stay out of trouble, and have a Twitter account and have internet access. It's not a thing where the internet is destroying the youth.
Yeah,
they're able to
shoot themselves in the head.
Not something new. Kids have shot themselves for decades. There have been this is not the first time a kid has accidentally killed himself.
Yeah.
The only difference is, as we saw it live, there have been plenty of instances.
What was the reason they were doing it? Because they wanted attention from social media. They wanted to get them likes, them hearts popping. Shot themselves.
Okay, so before Facebook Live existed, why do those other kids accidentally shoot themselves? Why did they do it?
They were just curious. Now you're trying to show off.
Okay,
you're trying to show off. Okay, exactly.
So this kid wasn't curious either. He wasn't curious and was able to do it on Facebook Live.
He wasn't
It's not an either or.
From the pictures, yes, it is. Because the pictures he was dancing in front of his mirror.
So he wasn't curious about guns at all. He just did it for attention.
But
there was no curiosity about
it. Since the 80s, then why expose them to one more risk? I mean, we know they got this amount of risk, and it's been going on since the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. Why add more risk to it when we don't have to? Kids don't need social media to interact with other kids or develop or become adults.
Go outside, play sports.
Because that's where we are as Americans. The thing is, it's like you wonder, like, well, why are kids at, you know, 3 or 4 always reaching for their parents' cell phones and iPads? It's because that's what they see. If we weren't always on our cell phones and iPads and computers, they wouldn't want it either. And that's mainly the reason why they're doing it.
Don't do it then.
Social
all right, everybody, don't have your phones out around your kids. Good luck with that. easier said than done. I'll tell you that.
But social media is killing how kids interact with each other and how they don't know how to communicate with other kids or people for that matter, because I mean they're used to being on the computer typing up stuff. They can't carry on a conversation with somebody because they're so used to being on social media.
I agree with that.
And that's sick. Like, a lot of kids, they don't go outside, they don't do things that we did. And I think in the long run, it's going to mess them up. But I think that's why you see kids doing dumb shit like that. Like, oh, I'm going to have a gun and dance around in front of the computer screen because I want people to accept me and like me. Like,
I do agree that kids are more, like, they have a harder time, like, communicating outside of social media and, like, making friends the quote-unquote natural way, like, going outside and all that stuff. But I'm not going to sit here and say, like, the only reason kids are doing dumb stuff now is so they can get likes on Instagram and YouTube. They've been doing stuff before that. The only difference is now they have another avenue to get that stuff out there. So this kid that the kid that shot himself on Facebook, had that have been 20 years ago, we just said the only reason he did that is because he was curious, didn't know what to do with it, and was playing around. Now you do it in 2017. He's curious. He's doing it because he's playing around and he wants to get likes on Facebook. It's not either or. It's an and also. Now we're adding
something. I don't know where the curiosity comes from. We're probably the most violent country in the world as far as things that entertain us. Like, I was watching HBO and, like, 9 out of 10 movies are violent. So I don't know what the curiosity is. You know what a gun does. Like, there's no real mystery. Like, hey, if I put this gun to my head, if I pull this trigger, I'm probably gonna shoot something or shoot myself. So I don't get where the argument about curiosity comes in. Like, we know what guns do. We have Call of Duty. We have action movies.
It's not like I said,
is
like
a flower gonna come out the end of this gun when I pull the trigger while it's by my head?
I'll go right back to what I said immediately. Like what I said at the beginning of what I've said on previous episodes. Kids and teenagers are dumb. They do dumb stuff. That's what they do. Their brain isn't fully developed. They don't know the consequences of their actions. When I was 14 or 15, I decided to jump off of a second-story building or a second-story house onto a trampoline because I thought it was a good idea.
Dumb, why give them an arena to be even dumber?
Okay, but the thing is if I was that age now, I would have Facebook Lived it. That doesn't make Facebook Live, that doesn't make what I did worse. It's just that now someone's able to see it. Now I can do dumb stuff and people can see me do dumb stuff.
But the motivation is to get attention.
No, the motivation was I was a 14-year-old idiot. Like, I did that without, like, but I did that with nobody watching me. I didn't have an audience.
But if you post it on social media, you're trying to do it for other people to see, hence for them to like it.
You guys are not getting my point. I did that without, kids are going to do dumb stuff with or without social media.
But and social media is amping them up even more.
Every kid, you make decisions based off that you was a dumb kid. A lot of kids doing it for attention. So, I mean, what's the scenario when you got kids that don't have the interaction at home
It's not just for attention. It's and. It's because they're dumb and they want attention. It's because they're curious and they want attention. You have to put them both together. It's both. That's my main point. The kid, if there was no Facebook Live, that kid probably still would have ended up doing that because he's a curious kid. Because he likes to get into things. Now he just has the option of doing it on the internet for everybody else to see it. Right. It's just and. It's not an either or, it's and.
Well, y'all let us know if it's either or and. Or I personally feel that people are doing it for mainly attention, because I see this every single day. I see it all the time. Again, before we close, to clarify again, I ain't saying nothing wrong. Y'all took it. Anyway,
before we leave, I do want to give a shout out to Tori Satchel. Thank you very much for the support and the love.
Hey, Tori.
It's always good to be able to chop it up with you guys. I do want to run this back one day in the future. Next time we'll probably have, I want some more parents to interact on it too, to give their opinions with Marcus. I'm out.
Yeah, this is not Mr. Marcus. It's just Marcus Sniffles on Twitter.
Yeah, this has been an interesting episode. Again, if you have opinions, you want to come on, definitely comment, subscribe on iTunes, rate us, leave a review. We really appreciate that. Again, we do this for the people. We love interacting. We're trying to improve, get better. Almost had 1,000 listens on SoundCloud. So everybody who's taking the time out of their day, their busy schedule, check us out. Again, we appreciate it. Again, tell a friend, and continue to support the movement. We out. Peace.
We out. One time for the White Hen drinkers.
There we go. Hey, yeah, if you need that order, holler at your boy. I got that work.
I'm going to need 2 bottles.
And if y'all looking for them cookies, y'all know what's up. Hit me up, too.
Famous Amos. That's what he means. But yeah, we out. Peace.